News Network. Maybe the scariest thing there is today is truth in media, especially the news. Get not only the news, but the truth in the news and nothing else. From TNN, the Truth News Network. Without the other guy's spin, here's your host, Dan Newman.
Abortion has been front and center in the national news of late. Boy, has it. So it brings us to a point today where we need to ask and answer a real question. We're going to do that. Hello, everyone. I'm Dan Newman at truthnewsnet.org. Thank you so much for joining us. And the question is very simple. When does abortion become infanticide? Infanticide is defined as simply the killing of an infant. That's made plain and simple by Merriam-Webster. So is Virginia Governor Ralph Northam, in this video and this audio post, describing abortion or infanticide? Let's look and listen.
When Fairfax County Delegate Kathy Tran made her case for lifting restrictions on third trimester abortions, as well as other restrictions now in place. And she was pressed by a Republican delegate about whether her bill would permit an abortion, even as a woman is essentially dilating, ready to give birth. And she answered that it would permit an abortion at that stage of labor. Do you support her measure and explain her answer?
Yeah, and I wasn't there, Julie, and I certainly can't speak for Delegate Tran, but I will tell you, first thing I would say, this is why decisions such as this should be made by providers, physicians, and the mothers and fathers that are involved. There are, when we talk about third trimester abortions, these are done with the consent of obviously the mother, with the consent of the physicians, more than one physician, by the way. And it's done in cases where there may be severe deformities, there may be a fetus that's non-viable. So in this particular example, if a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother. So I think this was really blown out of proportion.
That's the governor of Virginia, a Democrat. Pro-choice pundits for decades have defined for the world exactly when life begins. Not until a fetus is actually born does it become a human. We've heard that for years. Is that factually true? And of course, we really don't know for certain. In the interviews seen and heard above, Virginia Governor Ralph Northam's description of the bill before the Virginia legislature made one thing very clear. These third trimester procedures will be done with the consent of the mother and with the consent of more than one physician. And it's done in cases where there may be a severe deformity and may be a fetus that's non-viable. So in this specific example, if a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen, the governor said. The infant, his word, the infant would be delivered, the infant would be kept comfortable, the infant would be resuscitated, if that's what the mother and the family desired, and then a discussion would ensue between the physician and the mother. The governor clearly makes a difference between the unborn, a fetus, and the born, an infant. Infants are babies, and by law, they are alive. So what is the discussion between the mother and the physician about? It could only mean one thing, whether or not to kill that unwanted, undesirable infant. Yes, it might be deformed. Yes, it might have been non-viable before its birth, but in the scenario painted by the governor himself, it would be kept comfortable. It, meaning the infant that was born. It would be kept comfortable for only one reason. It is alive. The governor was not going to skate by unscathed with the uproar that followed the above radio interview. So he then doubled down on that position that he had just taken.
Alan.
You know, some members of your party have said privately that, and it, maybe one publicly, but that you know, your comments yesterday could have been more precise, or they weren't helpful, and that Delegate Tran's defense of her bill could have been, could have been done in a better way. Do you regret what you said yesterday, or the way you said it?
No, I don't. And you know, Alan, I appreciate the question. I'm a physician. I'm also the governor. But when I'm asked questions, a lot of times it is put in the context of being a physician. Again, realizing, you know, how we approach, how we manage patients, how we offer advice and counseling. So no, I don't have any regrets. But I do find, that how my comments, I did answer that question. I regret that those comments have been mischaracterized. The personal insults toward me, I really find disgusting. So, again, as I said in my comments just earlier, you know, we can agree to disagree, Alan, but let's be civil about it.
That's the governor again doubling down on his statements the previous day. Let's talk for a moment about the irony of ironies. You may be too young to remember back in the early 70s when the Roe v. Wade case was all over the news every day. The loudest cries during that era came from the pro-choice crowd screaming at right-to-lifers, demanding abortion rights totally on behalf of mothers. Just a side note, interesting, isn't it, that they're not mothers if they abort their children? Who are they the mothers of? The right-to-life supporters felt that abortion way back then was the taking of life, actually killing a baby. That position has not changed. If I heard it once, I heard it 1,000 times. It's not a baby until it's born. So it's not alive until it is born. Since that time, the argument has taken us much farther down that path. Abortion supporters still make that same claim, but have edited it to include that abortion is a women's right, women's reproductive right, to be exact. That men have no right to even giving an opinion, since no man knows personally what it means to be pregnant. While that may be true, there is a man somewhere in that process. It still takes a man to make a baby, right? Another aside, does a guy have any rights in this conversation? That starts a whole different discussion. We won't go there today. It is ironic what 45 years have done to this conversation and where we find ourselves today. 45 years after the United States Supreme Court ruled abortion is legal in all 50 states, that discussion has now become a debate of the legalization of killing a baby after its birth. What is the current irony? If the Virginia bill, in its present form, gets passed by the state legislature, and if Governor Northam signs it into law, Virginia will be enacting what, by the actual 1973 definition of and justification for abortion given by pro-choice advocates, will mean Virginia has legalized infanticide. Think about that for a moment. What is infanticide? The killing of an infant. By the explanation of Governor Northam, in his own words, that fetus becomes an infant when it is born. The discussion the governor mentions can only be about whether the mother and doctor agree or disagree about allowing that infant to live. If the conclusion is to not allow the infant to live for any reason, killing it is committing infanticide according to conventional wisdom and according to the definition of infanticide. So, what is the real late-term abortion discussion about. Senator Ben Sasse, Republican of Nebraska, gives his synopsis to Dana Perino of Fox News of what the Virginia late-term abortion bill is really all about.
Senator Ben Sasse, a Republican from Nebraska, who called these comments morally repugnant, he joins me now. Senator Sasse, so the governor's office is basically saying, look, everybody's taking this way out of control and out of context, that the legislation has been tabled, the Republicans were able to defeat it, but Republicans down there in Virginia saying, okay, but it can be called back at any time, and the Democrats are actually going to bring this up again, and it's not about just the bill, it's about the entire issue that we should be debating. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, what the governor of Virginia said was morally repugnant. I mean, this isn't the old Democratic Party argument 15 or 20 years ago that abortion should be safe, legal, and rare. What he was actually talking about was a little baby girl being born alive and him saying, well, let's try to comfort the baby a little bit while the mom and the doctors have a debate and whether a whole bunch of doctors get together and say, yeah, we think infanticide is okay. That's actually what he was talking about. It's breathtaking stuff. Mm-hmm. And if he can't say that protecting a little baby girl who has survived an abortion is something that we as a society all believe in together, he really should get the hell out of office.
Take a listen to what Erica Sacken, she's from Planned Parenthood, had to say about Governor Northam last night.
I think even Governor Northam has clarified that in that conversation, he wasn't talking about abortion. He was talking about circumstances where a woman may have a wanted pregnancy and then finds out later in the pregnancy that it won't be viable, it won't survive the womb.
One of the things about this, Senator, is that the media coverage focuses on Republicans and conservatives' reaction to the governor's comments when it actually is the actual, right. The issue is the story. The story is not about the reaction. The story is like, this is an issue. Can we have a discussion about this? And where are you going to stand?
Yeah, you're exactly right, Dana. I mean, the comments that the governor of Virginia said on the radio are about fourth trimester abortion. This is not abortion. This is infanticide. And every Democrat should have to answer for whether they stand with little baby girls who are born alive surviving an abortion or whether they stand with Governor Northam's repugnant comments. I think the 2020 Democratic presidential candidates should have to answer for this. This is not about Republicans and conservatives pouncing as the media narrative has been tried to advance it the last 2 days. Mm-hmm. This is about whether or not Democrats and these aggressive pro-abortion Democrats are going to continue to duck, talking about whether or not they stand with that little baby girl.
These debates are frustrating because obviously any mother who is going through this or family, mother and father that are finding themselves in a situation, it's obviously a heart-wrenching situation for them, and so to turn it into just politics does feel a little disgraceful. I want to ask you one political thing, though, because we're heading into 2020, and President Trump tweeting this today. Democrats are becoming the party of late-term abortion, high taxes, open borders, and crime. And Ben Shapiro, friend of the show and of Fox News, he retweeted that with this message, this should be Trump's re-election message, and he should not say anything else for the next 2 years. Does that really distill down the differences between Democrats and Republicans?
Well, again, there was a time when there were a whole bunch of pro-life Democrats, and I think for the good of America and for the good of those of us who care about babies, we should want to see there be pro-life Democrats again. But right now, the Democratic Party has not come out to condemn this stuff, and they really should. This should be much bigger than Republican versus Democrat. That's obviously a little baby girl we're talking about in those images and on that birth table, and this should be bigger than Republican and Democrat, and we all ought to unite to stand with the most vulnerable in our society.
Will there be any legislative efforts during this Congress that just got underway?
I'm the lead sponsor of the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. I have been for 3 years in Washington, and I've been fighting to try to get a floor vote for that, and I think we're going to try to get some expedited consideration of it as well in light of what's happening in New York and Virginia right now.
Okay. Senator Ben Sasse, we appreciate you joining us today. Thank you.
Thanks, Dana.
One another irony in this entire Virginia issue. Republicans narrowly control the Virginia House of Delegates, so the bill is unlikely to pass anytime soon. A subcommittee voted to table the bill, actually, in a 5-3 vote on Monday. So unless and until it's brought back up at the committee level and then voted to the floor of the Virginia House, it will never move forward. But in tandem with New York's new Reproductive Rights Act, signed into law by Governor Cuomo, This Virginia proposal has put abortion front and center. Not just abortion, because the Supreme Court in 1973 plainly determined its legality in all 50 states. But taking the life of an infant after birth is now front and center. Do you know what has really been going on during the 45 years since Roe v. Wade? Abortion has not really been about women's reproductive rights or even about a woman's body. Yes, she's absolutely involved and she's the one that carries this baby full term and births the baby. Abortion has been about simply doing away with an unwanted and or undesired individual that, if allowed to exist, create a life full of new and unwanted responsibility by someone or some group of people. Abortion has been the easiest way to avoid dealing with the day-to-day responsibilities of raising a son or a daughter. Now, don't scream at your computer. And don't write a nasty note to me. I know there are extreme circumstances in which, because of rape or incest, the question of abortion or not must be considered. But according to Worldometers, as of the writing of this story, 3.6 million abortions have been conducted worldwide already in 2019. How many of those were because of rape or incest? I doubt very many. Most abortions are clearly for other reasons. The scary thought to me is this, and I want to end today's show by thinking together about this issue, this scary thought. It is looking more and more like science will soon, or they may have already, and we just don't know about it, discover that life begins earlier than pro-choice advocates have believed it does and has based their abortion legality upon. Certainly, it will be sad if that happens to realize that millions of children will have been destroyed at the abortionist's hand. But think of the psychological horrors that will invade the minds of tens of millions of women worldwide who will be slapped with the reality that they have been party to the legalized and systemic slaughter of children. I cannot imagine how much grief will grip those hearts. My heart breaks to think of the agony those people will bear. Unless and until science discovers and releases such proof to the world, I suggest this: women everywhere, especially here in the United States of America, the greatest country on earth, pause for a moment and re-examine the process of abortion. Just because something is legal doesn't mean it's right. It's legal, and women have the legal right to abortion. Pushing the envelope so far has resulted in people actually finding ways to be comfortable taking the lives of infants after their birth now. I find it impossible to believe that we're even having this discussion at the state legislative levels. Infanticide's definition is a simple one, and it's not religious or political. Infanticide is the killing of an infant. That's not according to Dan. That's according to Merriam-Webster. I suggest Americans pause for a while and rethink late-term abortion and abortion as a whole. We all know women who have had those abortions. I just simply cannot imagine the horror, the grief, and the guilt that will attack each in the event of life at conception ever being declared a scientific fact. You know what? We can stop it right now, today. And let me ask you this, would that really be so bad? I know this was a tough conversation, and I know it's not going to end here. If you want to take me on, please feel free to do so in the comments section down at the right bottom side of the front page of the website, truthnewsnet.org. Feel free to write your comments in there, questions, anything goes. If you want to conclude your thoughts and put them in writing to me personally, feel free to do so at dan@truthnewsnet.org. I'll communicate with you privately. I'm not trying to embarrass you or anyone or make any political points. This is not about politics, folks. This is about human life. Let me say something I haven't said to you before. For all of you that are listening or reading, I dearly love and respect you. I want only the best for you and your family. We all are wrong from time to time, and there's nothing wrong about having an opinion. What's wrong is when we have opinions and someone asks a question or makes a suggestion about our opinion and we refuse to reconsider and find out if there's factual basis that actually supports that opinion or makes that opinion false. That's all we are doing here at truthnewsnet.org. We give you facts. We give you evidence. You make the decision, but make your decisions based on actual information. Thanks so much for joining in today. I look forward to hearing from you. We'll be back. Sit tight, and until then, have a great day. So long, everybody.
Not just political, not just lifestyle, but always relevant.
Real Truth, Real News, TNN, the Truth News Network.